Tonight's lesson is coming from the book of Zephaniah. And I told you the other day, the third verse of the second chapter of Zephaniah says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now, that's what we're concentrating on, meekness. This is a study in meekness. The full definition of meekness, thank you. The full definition of meekness is having or showing a quiet and gentle nature. Now, I want to tell you that, but I want to talk about that later on under a natural meekness, because that's a nature that's quiet and gentle that the Spirit has taught meekness, that the Spirit, that's under control of the Spirit, because there is a natural meekness. There are people that are meek, but that's natural. That goes to the point of what we just now read in the book of Romans, the third chapter of Romans. In the 20th verse, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." In other words, there are people that are just meek and lowly by nature. And that's not what we're talking about. This is a person that could have been a wild stud. This is a person that the Spirit has wrought meekness in, that made meekness. This is a person under the control of God. This is strength under control. This is a person that could have been very vociferous. It could have been a person that had a rowdy life, but they come under the control of God and His Spirit, and now they're meek. It's like I gave you the analogy, I don't know if I gave it to you Saturday or not, of a stallion. If you watch some of the old cowboy pictures or something, they try to find the strongest of the horses. That's the leader of the pack. And what they'll do, they'll get a cowboy and he'll have to break that horse. He has to break his will, in other words. He'll ride him. That horse will be throwing and bucking him and everything. But what he does, he makes him saddle broken. In other words, he's able after then to gently ride that horse. That horse just is gentle, but it's still a strong horse, but it's power under control. He would be the leader of the herd, but his power is controlled by the rider. You know, you can, and all kinds of commands, it's like a trained animal or whatever, but the power is under control. That's what God does us. We're, it's power under control. So we read of a man in the Old Testament, Samson. Well, when the Spirit of God would come upon Samson, Samson would be powerful, but Samson really wasn't under the full, how can I say this? Let's not use, it was strength. It was strength used by for God's purposes. It was given by God. But Samson wasn't a meek man. And spiritually wise, Samson wasn't a meek man. He had no self-control. Samson eventually lost his eyesight and everything because he wasn't obedient unto God. He lost it in a rowdy way of living. So a meek person is one, here's another definition, not wanting to fight or argue with other people. Not wanting to fight or argue with other people. When you become a Christian, you find out, you know, you don't like to argue as much. You know, if you think you're right about that, you think you're right, it doesn't make a difference to me what you think. You're not always trying to get your opinion across. You would tell somebody, well, let's just not argue about that. Because a servant of God shouldn't strive. He shouldn't argue with people. You don't have to win an argument all the time. You don't have to be in those arguments. So that's one of the characteristics of a godly person. Well, maybe as I go along, I maybe should contrast meekness, natural meekness, and spiritual meekness. That's under the Spirit of God. In other words, you accept wrong. Paul said you would rather accept wrong or rather somebody offend you. That's the analogy that was given when it says if a man smites you on one cheek, you have to turn the other cheek. In other words, you're not quick to fight. In other words, that would show that you're not a... Now, don't take that analogy too far, because most people, when you're talking about Christian people and everything, that doesn't mean somebody come punch you in your jaw. You're supposed to say, hey, punch me on this side too. That's not meekness. That's cowardice. That's weakness or something. But it's that you're not prone to fight. You would rather settle the argument of the fight. You don't have a pugnacious nature, but you're not a coward. Now, that's why I say, don't get that wrong. Now, there's a lot of people, you could hit them, holler at them and do everything. They just cowardly don't want to get involved in things. They just may be scared. And that's the world's definition of meek. God's definition of meek is someone that's under control by God, because we know that David, it says David was a meek man. You remember he didn't seek to kill or destroy Saul? But David killed a lot of men. David was a warrior. One of the reasons God didn't allow David to become the build his temple, because he was a man of blood. David killed Uriah. But David was meek. In other words, he was under the control of God. Moses, it says Moses was the meekest man in the world. The meekest man. But what happened is Moses killed a man. I mean, you remember when Moses came down from the mountains with the Ten Commandments in his hand, and the people had rose up to play and drink, and they were all rowdy and having a party, committing idolatry and dancing to the golden calf. Moses crushed those stones into powder and made the people drink it. See, meekness is something learned. Moses had to learn meekness. It took him 40 years on the desert to learn the meekness that he had. Just think, he had to be a pretty meek man if he put up with those people for 40 years in the wilderness. You notice how people always complain and give you any problems, and it's always something comes up? People will get on that last nerve of yours, but a meek person controls that. He's in control of things. He doesn't lose control. That's why I say, when circumstances, Sister Harris, we was talking the other day, when things come up against you, the lady was upset because she wasn't upset because of her medical diagnosis. See, by being meek, you accept what God has placed upon you. Those are burdens you have to bear, and you understand, this wouldn't be happening to me if God didn't allow it. God run into the back of me today. I said, well, God must allow that. It's no use in me getting upset or whatever. I came around and helped him get his car in the street and everything. Tied his friend up and helped him. But some people lose all kinds. The scripture says, be ye angry and sin not. A lot of people go all off the end. And if they don't get their way, if they feel somebody's doing them wrong, they go argue with this person. Well, you ain't taking care of me. You're hollering at the doctor. You're hollering at the lawyer. You're hollering at everybody because they're not doing things the way you want to do it in your time. But meekness is just accepting what's going on. It's not standing up for your rights. Now, I don't say you don't stand up, but it's not standing up for your rights, in other words, in an argumentative way. Can you understand what I'm saying there? Because you remember Samuel, I told you about this. Samuel was a young man, and he got a vision from God, and God spoke to him. And Eli, the priest at that time, asked Samuel, what did the Lord say? And he said, don't hold nothing back. And Samuel told him all what the Lord said, that the Lord was going to kill his children. Go kill his son. And Samuel said, Eli says, well, it be the Lord, let him do as he may. Because God had told Eli that Eli did reprove his children, but he didn't make them do right. You have to accept whatever judgment God brings into your life. If he takes your child, well, God, why you took my child and why this happened? He wanted to. He's God. The Lord give it and the Lord take it away. He took Job's children. He took his health. He took everything he had. Okay, the Lord must have seen fit for that to happen. It wouldn't happen. Simeon was cursing David, and David said, Abishai said, well, shall I go take that dead dog's head off? Well, David didn't want to have to fight him or anything. He said, well, no, the Lord must have bid him to curse me. I must have did something to be cursed for. You don't have to stand up for your rights. You don't say that to me. You don't do these things. That's why I was giving you the Beatitudes the other day. It says, blessed are people you when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Well, you don't need to stand up for yourself when somebody talking about you and calling you a name. Okay, you call me a name, so what? God says, I'm blessed. When you get to that point that you don't have to go around defending yourself, that God's going to defend you. You know the word says, vengeance is mine, I'll take that. In other words, you trust in God to recompense that person for the wrong done unto you. He says, don't take vengeance, vengeance is mine. It's a complete trust in God and in his way. You can't do that just out of a gate as a young Christian, a lot of them. And just like the rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus and he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, sell all that thou have, give it to the poor and take up the and follow me. And he says he went away wroth because what he had much goods. He was covetous. In other words, he wasn't willing to follow what Jesus' words say, his commandments say. We have to follow God's word, trust in his word, have faith in God, and he'll bless you. We have the faith. That's why a lot of people say, well, man, if I tithe, if I can't tithe to the church. I can't give offerings because I won't be able to pay my bills. Okay, so you're saying that you go willingly disobey what God's telling you that what he commands you to do. Willingly saying that you know how to make it on your own and that you can't make it the way God wants you to make it because you need that money. You know better than God. Meekness is willing to endure, is enduring injury with patience and without resentment. In other words, if you will give and upset about it, mad about it, and resent giving it, you just wasn't not giving it. If you will help somebody or do something for them, you know, you're coming back. You remember I did this for you, I did that. I tell my wife a lot of times and she get upset. Oh, you try to use the scripture or something now. It's because we don't realize how much in our everyday life with our spouses, with our brethren, our relatives, the people on the job, just with different people, that we don't show meekness. In other words, that fruit is not being developed in our lives. That's why in Zephaniah says, seek meekness. It's something that you have to do. You have to do. You have to learn to do these things to put yourself under. You have to learn to ask God to help you to do these things. That's one of the things. I don't think we'll get to it tonight, but that's why you have to stay in prayer to God. That you have to stay in communications with God. That's why a lot of people tell you how weak the church is today. But you don't see the power manifest in the church today. Most Christians don't have that power. And people go to church for years and years and hadn't developed the power, true faith in God. That's because they could handle life. They don't need God except for when we want God. God, you don't have to help me with this. I can take care of this guy. I know how to defend myself. Until you realize you need God in every situation and that without Christ, you can't do anything. You leave him out. When you go to arguing or cursing with somebody and trying to reciprocate evil for evil, rendering evil for evil, rendering recompense, you saying, God don't know how to handle this. I know how to handle this. You have to be able to endure injury. You have to endure insult. That's why he says, if someone compel you to go a mile, go 2 miles. In other words, if someone taking advantage of you, you don't have to jump up and, well, let me take care of that in the next one. It says, deficient in spirit and in courage. That's the world's definition. Somebody that doesn't have any courage. But if we notice what God's word is, he says, be ye strong and be of a strong courage. It takes courage to allow people to say something to you. It took courage and strength and not a deficient spirit for the people to spit up on Jesus. And when reviled, he reviled not himself. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He wasn't resisting going to the cross. He says, "Not now, thy will be done. God's will be done." God gave him the power to allow them to hang him on a cross and kill himself. To kill him himself, his body. He allowed them to murder him, the King of Glory. He allowed sinful man to do that to him. So he was meek and willing to trust God. Are we that meek and willing to trust God? Now, like I was telling the guy on the job today, he said he was getting his Bible study for free. He was getting it ahead because the whole of this week is this Hispanic guy that's on the job that's working with us. And he asking me questions and talking all day. You know, I'd be wanting to say, well, look, we need to get some work done. You know, he keeps stopping and come asking me things. But it's not a deficient spirit. It's not as the world portrays it. The world portrays you as a loser if you are meek. That's why I was telling you the spirit of the world. Billy Baldwin was on CNN the other night talking about Donald Trump, that his brother Stephen Baldwin was for Donald Trump. But Billy brought in the Christian aspect of that. He said, that's not meekness. That's what I tell people. When you don't see that that's a spirit of the Antichrist, that's a mark of the beast, those that follow after him. Because anytime you arrogant, you high-minded, you talk about other people, he's talking about suing these women. Well, a Christian don't seek to get even with people. A Christian don't talk about other people. But the people that say they're a Christian out of following him, as I was telling the guys on the job today, those are antichrists. The spirit of Antichrist, and we don't realize the spirit of Antichrist is a Christian that goes to church but has fallen away from the true upright standing of the spiritual doctrine. They're following the other Jesus. Paul said there's another Jesus. So with that spirit, that's why it's nothing personal. That's why I was telling my wife the other night, I say, well, you know, you can see what he was talking about in Revelation when they say people will kill you thinking they do God a favor. But you can't lead a revolution and follow God because that's what? Blasphemy against scripture, because he said you have to submit yourself to authorities and government. But you can't say, hey, the election system is rigged. I'm just going to go against the whole system and destroy the system because it's rigged. They're all going against me. That's not Christ-like. That's murmuring and complaining. The church is not being preached in Tailville that this is the mark of the beast. You're accepting an antichrist spirit. That's when Paul told the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? This is the other spirit. You can tell the Christians are staying back. Now, I'm not saying that everyone that's under the Donald Trump banner, and I'm not saying everyone that's under the Clinton banner is a Christian, because they could be, just like I said, naturally meek, naturally wanting to do that which is right and good. There are some people that are meek, a lot of them on governmental programs, a lot of them are just everyday lowly people that they're not into politics or whatever, but long as they could watch TV, long as they could just sit out in their corner of the world and nobody bothers them and they think they're just good people. But that's not meekness. That's not God. That's a natural meekness. They're not under control of God. If you cross them the wrong way, you'll see what comes out in them. They're not under the control of God. It's just that they naturally don't bother people. They're naturally to themselves. But they hadn't been born again. So just because you don't bother anybody, you live a good life, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't curse, you don't do all these, you hadn't been born again. So you're still not under God. Because you're not following the word of God. So that's a natural meekness, a natural timidity. You'll have people that you never hear raise their voice. They haven't ever gotten into it with a neighbor or anyone. You don't ever hear them fighting back or this and that there. But that doesn't mean they had been born again. That's a natural meekness. So these definitions of meek are worldly definitions because the true definition of meekness, no, they're not violent, but Christians do commit, they will fight back. That's according to their meekness. You understand what I'm saying? But that's a fruit of the Spirit that has to be learned. But they don't promote violence. That's why I said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Well, it's not a Christian man that would see someone rape his daughter, do his family or someone something, is it? It's not a man alive that you go run in and tap his car or something. Oh man, bless God, you hit it, huh? And it, yeah. No, that's naivety. That's being naive. It's not being, you have to be firm. Do we understand what I'm saying? Meekness is a disposition, but that person is under the control and the authority of God. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What I said Saturday? I'm meek and lowly. So if Jesus was meek, wasn't it him that ran the money changers out of the temple? But Jesus, his disposition was that he was under control and power and authority of God. That's where his power lies. That's 1 Peter 2:21 to 23. 1 Peter 2:21 to 23. It says, for even hereunto where ye are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that ye should also follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So that's the, did you turn that air all the way off? Okay. But he says, when reviled, he reviled not again. So, he had a job to do, and part of his job was to suffer and go through what he went through. I've told Sister Harris, I'm putting her on the trail of a Christian, and I heard a preacher preaching on her this week, Johnny Erickson Totter, the young lady with a lot of money and a lot of stuff, but she was diving one day, dived off of a pier, off of a boat or something. But there were shadow rocks and things there. And when she fell into the water, it ruptured her spine and everything. Now she's a paraplegic. She don't have movement in any portions of, you know, but she has the world's largest wheelchair ministry. She has one of the largest ministries for God. She has a real meek and humble spirit. And she's been gotten old now. But ever since I've been hearing of for the last 20 or 30 years, it's a spirit that she's content. A person that was active in skydiving and jumping off cliffs and everything. But that's the direction the Lord sent her life. There's no resentment in her. See, that's what I was saying about being meek, that God has a design for your life. Anything that happened to you happened for a purpose. God brought that into your life for a purpose. So when Moses gave up the riches of Pharaoh, the riches of Egypt, and went on the backside of the desert for 40 years training as a shepherd, he had to learn meekness. That's what he was out there doing, learning meekness. So we have to realize that that's a fruit of the Spirit that manifests over a lifetime. Now, like I said, Moses rose up, even though the Bible says he was the meekest man in the world. You remember when the people had needled him so much that he got so upset that God had told him to speak to the rock the second time, but instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock and said, "Shall we give you rebels water?" And God, that one act caused him not to be able to go in the promised land. So God's going to be developing meekness in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Donna Ray, Brother Jackson, I think I gave you one of those papers that says about fruit of the Spirit. We've talked on the fruit of the Spirit. You'll see that that's a fruit that's God's cultivating in us. That's why we have to, I said, seek meekness. It's something that God develops over a period of time. We have to catch ourselves a lot of times. You know, you have to, in other words, examine yourself. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Watch the things being said. In other words, you have to walk circumspectively. That's what God wants to do, is develop character in us. Now, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sometimes be angry and sin. But he says, be angry and sin not. It's like, bring some next week. It's like the satsumas on my tree. Those satsumas don't do anything but abide in that tree. They were coming on that tree ever since maybe March of last year. They just sit there and grow. As long as they abide in that tree, in those tree limbs, they grow, and after 9 or 10 months, in November, October, they're ready. They're juicy. They're ready to be eating their fruit. Well, that's how we are. If we continually to abide in God's word, stay attached in his word, and do that which he commands us, will grow. The fruit produces. I couldn't see the satsumas getting right. Every once in a while, a couple of months, I couldn't just sit out there and see them getting right, but I can see them getting larger and larger. And then you see, if you're growing apples, they're growing, and then one day there's a big old red apple on the tree. I got a grapefruit tree planted now. There's a big grapefruit out there on it. But, you know, once you do things, you have to abide in Christ. As we're telling the guy, church is something that you have to repeat. Notice that people say, you've been going to church 30 years, you could just go to church. Yeah, because you never learn it all. God's still working on you until you die. Amen. That's why Paul says, I hadn't achieved. I'm pressing on toward the mark. So you have to go to church this week, Bible study. You have to continue to pray. And you have to do it week in, week out. It's a day-by-day thing of studying his word. But once you start missing studying his word, once you start missing praying, once you start missing what he's telling you to do and start doing what you feel like, what's your opinion? You remember I told you, I don't care about your opinion, what your opinion is. It's what God had said. That's how Satan tricked Eve. Instead of saying God had said that, he said, had God said this? Tell somebody what thus saith the Lord and leave it alone. You don't need to go in a big old explanation if they don't know or understand. Don't let them trap you that standing there talking to everything, and next thing you know, you starting to doubt what you done told him. But if you have enough authority in teaching or preaching, it's like the guy, I have to keep telling him to keep moving because I'm afraid the guy that he's working with goes, hey, man, you ain't working. You continue to listen to him. Well, I can do those things. I'm working with my son. I'm working. He's coming in my area talking to me while I'm working. But that's how the word of God is. You hunger and thirst after it once you start hearing it. And he kept, oh man, how you know all these? How you understand this? And you it just keep, that's how the word of God is. You start to hunger for God's word. That's why you go to church. How many times in the morning do you say, well man, I need to get to church today. I really need to hear what the pastor say. I really need to get the Bible study because this is going to help me. If you resent coming to church, you resent going to Bible study, you're not in communication with God. Because if you're in communication with God, during the day you would be praying and asking him to teach me and give me things to tell you. The war not going on around you then. You're not involved in that war. Because if you're in that war, you're using your ammunition. You're using the bullets God has given you. You're in warfare. And as the enemy, which is the different people, different things, situations coming up on you. You're using your ammo, so you have to go back to the fueling dump and get more ammo.
Sure.
But if you're not using your ammo, you could miss church. You could miss everything because you ain't using the bullets you got. God's not going to give you any more bullets till you use the one he's given you. That's how you grow. He said, well, you're talking about the milk and meat principle. He said, I'm getting meat here. I said, well, no, you're still getting a little bit of milk here because you don't really understand why I say. He said, what is it? I said, you know, wisdom and understanding and knowledge. But he has a meek spirit. A meek spirit is a teachable spirit. That's why Jesus says, come unto me and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. You have to learn. Meekness is a teachable spirit. But if you're married, or if you're on a job, or you have any communication with people, you'll know that those people, you can't tell me, I know. Watch it. Don't try to tell that person anything. Just let them go. Because some people know much as everybody else. They know everything. But if you have a teachable spirit, that's how he said, what you listening? I said, well, I listen at preachers and things all during the day. I listen at sermons because I can't go off and say, I know it all. I need somebody preaching to me too. I tell y'all, there's nothing wrong with if you understand God's leading you to listen to a particular sermon, so, but you have to be careful what you're listening at. Meekness is not a spirit that defends itself. Meekness is not a spirit that makes excuses for itself. Meekness is not a spirit that blames other people. Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He says, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Should we receive good things at the hand of the Lord and not bad things? You don't sound like my wife. Because I have to receive whatever at God's hand that he send my way. Because I believe and trust in him and his word. And his word says he won't lay any burden on me that I'm not able to bear. So any shortcomings or sufferings, I'm just like, do you realize the prayer that you was praying that when you say God's going with you? You got to actually believe what you're praying that God's right there in the fire with you. That he's right there in the midst of that with you. He's not outside the fire. He's in that fire with you. He's wherever you at, that he'll never leave you. But see, that's where we lose from under meekness, because you done did me something. Now I got to defend myself. Hold on, if God with you, you don't think God could defend you? What you got to defend yourself for? You as sheep led to the slaughter, Peter says. That's what Peter learned. He says, put up your sword, Peter. Peter was consistently always wanting to fight, always popping off saying something. Some have tried to use humility as equivalent to the word meekness. Those words are not a specific synonym for meekness. Kindness, gentleness. You'll see. So what's your version of the Bible has under that? Go to Matthew 11 chapter, the Sermon on the Mount. Some versions has gentle, some has kindness. That's why I tell you, I always compare things and look at the Matthew, the 11th chapter. Or is it the 5th chapter? The 5th chapter and the 5th verse. What does yours have there? Okay, and then down at the well, I'm not going to tie the class up anymore, but there's another verse. But some versions have gentle, humble, kind. Those words are not exact synonyms for me, because kindness, gentleness, those are outward signs. Those are outward characteristic, whereas meekness is an internal characteristic of the spirit working on an individual's spirit. It's an internal spirit that's rising up in you, that's mortifying the deeds of the body. You know when it says mortify the deeds of the body, where you wouldn't obey it in the lust thereof? That's the inner man. And you remember I was talking Saturday about the incredible you, and I compared it. I say it's like the Incredible Hulk, that until you upset Bill Bixby and then it unleashes the Hulk, the man inside of him, that man that he couldn't control, that rage in him. Well, with us, the external man is the flesh. That internal man is the meek man. That's trying to keep us under control, and that's the control of God. So whereas that internal thing, that's an eternal thing. That way we would be in heaven. That's the way God's developing us for the kingdom of God. That's why it goes on and says that the meek shall inherit the earth. In other words, on the earth, in the kingdom, you won't have people rising up to kill, because killing is a sin. You would be meek. You wouldn't kill anyone. You wouldn't fight. You wouldn't do all these things because God has broken you. He had perfected your character of meekness. That's why I compared it to, as in 1 Corinthians that we read Saturday also, the 13th chapter about charity and love endured forever. If you have the love of God, you never seek to injure or hurt another individual. You never even speak offensive to another individual or whatever, because you don't have to defend yourself or do anything to keep people off you or to get somebody told or give them a piece of your mind. We have to learn those things. That's what Jesus was, meek and humble, and that's the way we have to be. That's the characteristic, not of kindness. Kindness is an outward act, and it's a seeable trait. And there's natural kindness, but we also, that's a fruit of the Spirit. We're not teaching on that tonight. But if you see a translation that substitutes kindness, a gentleness, a humble for meek, it is not the same. They're not synonyms in the aspect that he's talking about. Of here. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the Zephaniah, the third verse. It says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness. Righteousness is another thing that Christ works in us, and we're going to go into righteousness next time. And I think I may have to teach on humility to show you that humility is not the same thing as meekness. To be humble is not the same as meek. Humble is an outward characteristic. Ahab did humble himself unto God, but it was because he was wrong, but it wasn't a true conversion. But he was convicted of what he had did wrong, and he humbled himself. Okay, mourning springs from a sense of sin. And go ahead on and read that beatitude where you were. You still have that 11th, the 5th chapter?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead on and finish reading that beatitude.
The 5th chapter of Matthew.
It's first, it starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's going, I think, in a chronological order, because you have to see yourself as deficient in spirit first. You have to, that's why it says meekness and poor in spirit is not the same. That's why they used the word poor in spirit here. When you're poor in spirit, poverty of spirit or poor in spirit means that you see you don't have what it takes to serve God. That you don't have what it takes to do right in this life. That you need God. You see that without God, you can't get this done. You see something's wrong with you. Your life's been wrong. Okay, the next one, the fourth one.
Okay, the fourth one says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be
comforted. So, mourning is a second step. Once you realize that you can't do it in your own spirit, that you need a change in your inner man, you need to be born again, born of the Spirit of God. You need to be a son of God to accomplish this. That's why I say you can't have meekness without God being in you. So that's when mourning comes from. Mourning springs from a sense of knowing of your sin, knowing that you're a sinful creature. It's from a tender conscience. You know, once a person grow a conscience, you are aware of your wrongdoing. Some people has had their conscience seared and they can do anything and don't think about it that night. A meek person can do you something and come back and say, man, it's bothering my conscience. I shouldn't have said that to you. I shouldn't have did this. That's why I said we will make mistakes or whatever. But if you're seeking God and you're mourning for your sin, it could give you a tender conscience, a conscience toward God. That's one of the beatitudes as Deacon read. Blessed are those who mourn. It comes from a tender conscience and a broken heart, that broken spirit. It is a godly sorrow over our rebellion against God and hostility to not doing what he had willed us to do. It is an agonizing realization that it was not just sin in general, but it was our sins that nailed Christ to the cross. We realized that it was us. That's one thing a natural meek person can't realize. Because they think I'm good. You know, I'm basically a good person. I ain't never did this. I never went to jail. They think, you know, that they ain't that bad. But see, they don't realize that they're a sinner. And that they wicked and evil. And that they need God. And without being in a church seeking God, they can't mourn because they can't see themselves for what they are. And that it was their sins that nailed Christ to the cross. Not everybody else's sin. It was their sin. Notice that in Matthew 5 and 4 is in the present tense, meaning that mourning is not confined to our initial repentance. It is a continual experience. Read it again, Deacon.
Blessed are the meek.
No, I'm talking about that fourth verse.
Blessed are those who mourn.
No, he said, blessed are those that mourn. Every day, Sister Harris, are you mourning? Every day you see yourself, it's a daily thing. And if it's not a daily thing, then God's not working. That's why I say you need some more bullets for the gun. You need to be in prayer because he's going to show you, when he's showing you this, he's working on you. The fertilizer is working. The prayer had fertilized this in you. Prayer, when you're breaking up that fallow ground, you're trying to grow a garden here. You done broke up the ground, prayer waters it, the word of God waters it. All those things is going to make it grow. That seed that's been planted in you, that seed of faith. We're trying to grow our faith in Christ. We're adding to our faith. So we have to see ourselves daily. That's why Paul said he hadn't achieved. He's seen himself. He said he hadn't reached that point where he was perfect. See, that's what the Pharisees, they were holier than thou. They thought that they were all right. They thought they didn't have any sin. When a person starts thinking that he holier than thou, they got a problem. They're not seeing themselves as still needing God to do ever more for them. No Christian think he's perfect. No Christian should think that he's to a point where he don't need God to do something in his life that day. So you're in a, that's, it's in a continuous, that's a continuous verb. He says, blessed are they that mourn. In other words, that they continually mourn. That's why he says, be afflicted and mourn. See, God's doing this because you at war, that person that hurt your heart that day, that thing that happened to you that day, that was part of the war. God sent there to be a character in you and to have you talking to him. It's keeping you. That's why if things ain't coming to you each day to drive you to prayer, something's wrong. The Jews.